Welcome aboard. I'm Brad.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Scott. Welcome to My Ship Story Podcast.
This is a podcast where we invite crew members, both past and present, to tell their stories about life at sea.
So come up to the pool bar and grab a drink.
Sit back, relax, because it's time for
My Ship Story. God, that was terrible.
Hi, guys. Welcome to My Ship Story. No, here we go. Welcome, everyone. It's another episode of my TikTok. Hey, everybody.
Welcome to my tits.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Hey, everybody.
Okay. A little more animated. Well,
hey, everybody. I'm a lot better at this.
Take 14.
Welcome, everybody. It's another episode of My Ship Story Podcast. I'm Brad. Got with me Scott and Eric. What's going on, Scott? What you been doing? It's been a while. We've been a little spotty doing stuff lately. What's going on?
Yeah, just things got really busy. Like, you know, a while back before we kind of hit our, technically, I guess we hit a slump, you know, where we haven't done anything in 6 months. But, you know, about that time, you know, I was back project after project and did like 5 films in 6 months. And so just got really busy with that. And Eric's been moving and rearranging his house and stuff. And Brad's been out in the field playing with cows and getting new puppies and stuff. But, you know, ready to rock and roll again.
Yeah, we're ready to get back into it. Let's get some. What's going on, Eric? You've moved it. One of the big things, Eric sold his house, moved into a new house, been trying to get that together. And that's just been a deal for a situation of us all getting together at the same time.
So just a little reminder to everybody, do not try to live in your house during a major remodel. Just do not do it. It has just been, and this has been going on for so long. I'm still not done. I am about, well, at least I'm close. We're about 95% of the way there. So we're almost done. I'm just losing a lot of time. But
go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, did this tornado come and affect you guys a few weeks ago?
We had one in, I want to say it was like December.
No, I think it was a big one in Nashville that downtown tore up
No. So we had one, it was a few weeks ago, but it was before, I'm pretty sure it was before Christmas. So that it actually passed a couple miles from my house, just a little bit north of us.
Oh,
it was really close to us. And it did do quite a bit of damage over in Madison, Tennessee. I am like 3 blocks from Madison and it went right through there. And it actually, the tornado hit a substation, a power station that kind of blew up. You might have seen that video online, but I had workers here at the house. I mean, everybody was here working on the house. My parents had just moved in downstairs, even though their house wasn't finished. So they were just moved in. So it was like, I want to say mid-December or early to mid-December. My phone is going crazy. Say, hide, get down. You know, it's coming your way. And I'm trying to get all the workers like, come on, like we need to go downstairs. You know, there's a tornado. It's telling us to go hide. And that we're looking outside, and honestly, outside, nothing. It's not even raining. It doesn't even look like a storm, like nothing. And so these workers were like, oh no, look, we're looking outside. It's fine. There's nothing going on. So they didn't want to come down. I walked downstairs with my dogs for a little bit. I mean, 2 miles from us, disaster. Our house, nothing. Barely anything even passed by our house.
Well, here's what you do. I know you're not used to tornadoes. Here in Oklahoma.
No, I am now. I've lived here for 10 years now.
Well, 10 but, years.
Yeah, but I you mean, you guys don't average 150
Tennessee
plus.
Is not a hub. What you do when you hear that there's a tornado close by, you get a glass of wine, you go out on the porch and you watch it. You watch for it.
Yeah. You go grade the funnel.
No. Get outside there so you can see.
You guys always get them during the day. We get them at night. You can't really see them coming much.
Yeah, that's disappointing. That's disappointing. But anyway, okay. Well, I wanted to mention something about the ice. We had a little bit of ice. We didn't get nearly as much ice as you guys did in Oklahoma City. But this was the bad thing is that I went outside and I was like, oh, there's no ice. I thought there was going to be ice all over the place. And so I just tool out the driveway. And I mean, I hit that. It didn't look like there was any ice at all. And it was just a thin sheet of ice. And I mean, I bit it so hard, so hard. You know, it's one thing when you're expecting ice and you fall, you know, you're kind of okay. But if you don't expect any ice, oh man, I had to go back in and lay down for like an hour before I could leave the house. My hip.
I did not leave my house for over a week because it snowed. And then it was so cold that everything just froze. So I couldn't get out of my driveway, even though it's not steep. I couldn't get out of my driveway. So I just thought, why even chance it? I'm not getting out of the house. So I didn't get out of the house.
Before we move to our guests, on behalf of all four of our listeners, so does this new house, do you have a pool?
No pool at this house.
Okay. All right.
God damn it.
Not yet, anyway.
Oh, put one in so we have some content.
Of me cleaning the pool?
Yeah. No, I think you never use.
Yeah. Your Hakka Guatemala boys cleaning the pool. All right. Well, let's get to our guests. See, Santana, this is why we have to cut these down to like 45 minutes because we just get on our roll. But anyway, welcome to the podcast, Santana McAfee. Thanks for being with us. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, I snagged Santana off of TikTok. She's a TikToker.
Yes, I am. I love TikTok. It's so much fun. I originally was using TikTok for business. I grew a business account to a little over 20,000 followers. And I've been trying to find an outlet like since ships, because, you know, like after you work on ships, it's so hard to transition. And so this new TikTok that I've created has been my outlet. So it's bringing me joy. And I'm so glad you found me there.
Awesome.
Yeah, you do great. You do great. Hey, tell us.
I need to hire you to do my TikToks for my business. How's that?
There you go. Look at this. Connection.
I need to give you some tips. Definitely give you some tips. Awesome.
Do you follow one of our ship friends, Erica from America?
She's
Erica from America, and then she also is the TikTok she does for Royal Caribbean and then the CEO for Royal Caribbean.
Yeah, but we're going to get into this. I think Santana's Carnival. But anyway, we're about to find out because I'm getting ready to ask you, how'd you get started working on ships?
Well, I've always wanted to travel. I'm from Mississippi. And growing up.
Whereabouts?
I was raised in Clinton, Mississippi. And I currently live out in the country in Utica, Mississippi. So, and that's right. All of it is right around the capital city, Jackson. Let me just do Jackson.
Okay.
I have actually been to Jackson once.
Oh, really? Okay.
Once.
So, then, as you know, there's not much here. I mean, if you're coming to Mississippi, you're coming for good food and or good music. That's it.
White Castle and Hush Puppies. Is Mississippi White Castle?
No, it's
or
not. Crystals.
That's right.
Yeah. So you come in here for catfish and greens and cornbread, fried chicken, like that. Like, that's it. If you're not coming for food and music, then you're not coming. I grew up going on trips every year to Florida, to Disney World. I went to Florida from age 2 to age 18 when I finally told my parents, I'm done, not going anymore. Those were our family trips. I never left the country. I never even really went to a lot of other states. So when I graduated from college, I got a bank job and I just wanted to travel. First, I thought I wanted to be a flight attendant and that didn't work out. So then I started applying to cruise ships. I applied to like 6 different cruise lines and one of them called me back. And that one was Holland America Line.
I worked shoreside at Princess Cruises and we worked together with Holland America for a number of years. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Did you run into anything
like what I experienced about, you know, coming from Mississippi, you know, me from Oklahoma? It's like, ooh, Mississippi, we don't hire many people from Mississippi. Did you run any of that kind of stuff? Or was it pretty much, hey, you got the background, let's do it?
Well, with Holland America Line, no. Like, they called me, which is how I just know it was meant to be, because none of the other cruise lines called me back, like when I put in my resume. And just to tell you how bad I wanted this job, I actually bought this guy, How to Work on a Cruise Ship, from this guy, Earl Barron. Do y'all know Earl Barron?
No, but
we've all done something similar.
If you go back and listen to my story, my mom, just to get me out of the house, pretty much checked out that book on how to get a job on a cruise ship and filled in all the stuff and didn't even tell me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I bought the guide. I followed his guide exactly. Like I said, I applied to about 6 or 7 different cruise lines. 2 weeks later, Holland America Line called me. They did an interview and they said, Can you leave in 2 weeks? Can you leave? Really? Actually, was it 2 weeks or 1 week? Because I feel like they called me on a Wednesday and she was like, can you leave Sunday? No, it wasn't 2 weeks. She called me on Wednesday and she said, can you leave Sunday?
That's our style right there.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Like, yeah.
So
just be glad you got that much time.
Oh, really?
I had 2 days.
2 days?
I got called on a Thursday night and I was in Miami Sunday.
Oh, man. It's
for a whole week, so
that's how I got started. I didn't have any pushback. That's just the beginning. As far as like, now, unless you're talking about when I got on the ship, because when I got on the ship, that's when the whole thing about my accent came out, because country girl, country accent. You can't really hear it now because I lost it working on ships, because so many people would be like, you're so country. So I kind of cleaned up my accent. And now I've been off ship all these years and people, they don't know I'm from the South. So
yeah, I was going to say, I live in Nashville and I didn't hear, like, I was going to ask you, where are you from? Where were you living? Because I couldn't tell what part of the country.
Yeah, you barely have a draw at all.
That's what happened.
And I think the four of us or three of us talking together, you can't really hear our accent until you get into a crowd of people from the other side of the world. And they're like, what?
Yeah, I did the same thing. I cleaned up my accent because people were like, oh, gosh, you have such an accent. So I did the same thing. I cleaned mine up. I stopped saying warsh.
Yeah. After, like, now thinking about it, it really, like, completely changed my accent. Like, if you would hear me back in, like, 2010, before I joined ships, it's a completely different voice. And that's crazy because it wasn't something that I tried to do, but I think the pressure, you know?
Okay, yeah, do you think you dip back in when you go to, like, family reunion and stuff and you start having that jaw and everything talk like this from Mississippi, you know, when you're with your family and stuff?
I think so, because sometimes my husband is like, did you hear what you just said? So I think it comes out when I just get going and going, you know? Yeah.
So you started in 2011 with Holland America. What position?
Youth staff. Yep. Yeah. I figured that was the easiest thing to get into because I had experience with children.
Yep. It is. For all those out there, youth staff is pretty easy.
I thought, doesn't normally get that many kids on board. Maybe more in the summer and period. But I thought, because summer, well, I mean, Holland America is a lot like Princess and like the age group and stuff like that of the passengers. And unless you're in the summer or spring break, Jesus, I can't speak today. The numbers weren't all that high. So were you permanently on there, like full-time staff, or did you come and go seasonally?
No, I was full time. I did full contracts as youth staff. And when it was the slow seasons, then it would only be one or two of us.
Uh-huh. Huh. Oh, and what is it? And what are your contracts? Are you guys like 8 months, 6 months, 8 months?
No, it just depends. Like sometimes my contracts were 3 months, 4 months. It just really depends on what you want. There was even one time that I did a 3 month contract and then I went straight to another ship and did a 4 month contract. So you really can kind of tell them what you want and they'll tell you what's available.
Wow.
That's great. 3 and 4 month contracts. Those are good.
Never had anything under than 6. I think ours is straight at 6 on, 8 weeks off, 6 on, 8 weeks off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was 9 for us when we started.
No, 9? I never did a 9 month contract.
Oh gosh. I did several 9 month contracts.
No, I did. Most of mine were 6.
On Renaissance or Royal?
Royal.
Oh no!
I think all of my Royal were 9 month contracts.
Brad, I think your memory is failing you in old age.
That it is.
Because we joined around the same time. I think you joined a little bit before me, but we joined at almost the same time. And I
can guarantee you, I did at least two 9 month contracts. I can prove it. I can get my passport out and documented. I got the receipts.
Sure felt it's that way. Receipts.
So you started as youth staff. How did you like that?
Oh man, those kids are crazy. Listen, and like it's just like you said, with like there's not many kids. So when there's not many kids because school is in, then you get all of the homeschool children. And homeschool children, there's nothing wrong with them. They're just a little different because they're not in a school setting. So they have like little quirks about them. And and it's so funny because I used to be like, man, what is up with homeschool kids? And then I homeschool my kids. So homeschool kids, I guess because they aren't as socialized, they're just a little different. So when it's just you and them, and don't let them not have a sibling. Oh my goodness. Now you really got to work because they're going to want you to do every color with them, do all of the activities. Usually when you have, you know, when you have a lot of kids, you can give them an activity and they'll do it together. However, if it's just you and one or two kids, now you're, you know, you're working harder, even though it's less kids.
When you first came on, like when you first came on, did they like throw you to the fire or was there anything wild, like starting your job, or did you get time to kind of train into it, or?
They threw me in. It was more like a working training, you working and training at the same time. And it took me a little while to adjust just to the speed of everything. And then learning, you know, starboard, aft, all the things. It was a lot in the beginning for sure.
Did you ever lose any kids?
No, I never lost kids, but I've seen kids be lost and people get fired.
Oh, wow. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
Let's go play hide and seek, y'all.
Why don't we hear a ship story? Why don't you give us a ship story?
My name is Santana McAfee, and this is my ship story. I'm going to take you guys back to 2013, and we're headed into Cozumel, Mexico. Now, I have a good friend on this contract. I believe this was the Westerdam, if I'm not mistaken. The Westerdam, we always called it the Besterdam because it was just the most fun ship. I have a friend named Pete. Now, Pete is a big guy. He's a ginger and he's just fun, all around fun. Pete is also a drummer. We just have a lot of fun together. So Pete and I, we become really good friends and we get off in port together. So every port we get off. And then what we would do is we would take turns paying. So we'd get off at one port and I'd pay for everything and we'd have a fun day. Then we'd get off at another port, Pete would pay and we'd have fun in, you know, all day. So this particular port, it's Cozumel and it's Pete's turn to pay and we're going off to have a good time. So we get off the ship, we stop at this little gift shop, we buy these matching sunglasses because, you know, today's going to be a great day. And we go to the No Name Bar. Are you guys familiar with the No Name Bar?
They didn't have it when we were doing it, but we know of it.
That was after our time.
Oh,
that's where they have the name tags, right? That's the No Name Bar.
Mm-hmm. For everyone who doesn't know, the No Name Bar is a bar on land, but it's strictly for crew. There's no guests, so you can let your hair down and you don't have to worry about guests peeking over your shoulder, reporting whatever you were doing. So Pete and I head to the No Name Bar. And we immediately get drinks. Now, I just want to let you guys know, me and Pete are not lightweights. I mean, we drink all the time. This is nothing new. So this particular day, we go up to the bar, we get drinks, we drink and have a good time. Now, as time passes by, more and more crew members come to the No Name Bar, and I start feeling funny. So when I am intoxicated, and I don't drink anymore, by the way, I just want to say that, but when I used to drink, I was very cognizant of, okay, you've had too much, you need to go to the bathroom. And I'm very much like, I'm put together. So no one's going to see me, you know, pass out or throw up or anything. So I
realized, not the case over here.
Not the case.
Well, I thought that wasn't the case. So I get up from the table that we're sitting at and I go to the bathroom and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to splash some water on my face and this is going to be fine. Well, I get sick in the bathroom. I am hugging the Mexican toilet.
Oh.
Terrible. It was bad. I'm on the floor, misput together. and I end up not coming out for like an hour. And so finally, somebody else from the ship, another crew member that I do not even know, because remember, I'm with Pete. And she comes and she knocks on the door and she says, "Santana, are you okay?" And I was like, "No." And she was like, "Can you let me in?" And I let her in and she comes in and she picks me up off the floor, her and this little Mexican lady, and they take me to this couch. So the No Name Bar has like different little areas, and they had this little couch thing, and they laid me there, and the little Mexican lady comes with this little cup of concoction, who knows what it was, and she said, "Drink this and you will feel better soon." So I'm laying on this couch. I'm wearing, I forgot to mention, I'm in a bikini. So imagine me hugging the Mexican toilet in a bikini. Oh, okay. So I'm laying on the couch and I'm drinking this concoction. And as time goes by, I start feeling better. And so I get up and I look around and I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'm good." So I go back to the pool and I look for Pete. He's nowhere to be found. So I start asking people, and the No Name Bar is not big. Like, it's a big pool and you can pretty much see everybody. I can't find him anywhere. Now, remember, it's Pete's turn to pay. I got off the ship with no money. So now it's time to start going back to the ship. And I go to the bar and they give me a tab of like $600. And apparently, what? Pete and I had probably 10, 12 drinks apiece. We had ordered all types of food. The bill was ran up and there was no reason it should be that much because it's a crew bar. They're not expensive. So apparently we probably had bought drinks for other people. You know how it is when you start drinking and now you're just generous. So anyway, I have a $600 tab. I tell, I think it was $400. $400 tab. So now I'm like, "Oh my gosh." So I see some cast members and I'm like, "Guys, I have no money. Like, Pete was supposed to be here. What happened to Pete?" And they were like, "Oh, he was so drunk. We put him in a taxi a long time ago." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh." So it ended up that one of the cast members, one of the dancers, whipped out her credit card, paid our bill. And I was just like, "I am so sorry. I am so embarrassed." And she was so sweet. She paid. She said, "Don't worry about it. As long as you pay me back, we're all good." I went back to the ship. And that was the last time me and Pete got off the ship together. We decided to leave our shenanigans on the ship after that happened because it was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mexico and seems to. That's my
story. That is straight up Cozumel, man.
Yeah, that's straight up Cozumel. We all of us have our own like Cozumel horror stories.
I started to say when you said Cozumel, I started to say that's a dangerous place.
And, they have the Jolly Roger when you guys were there, the booze cruise, the rum punch and stuff.
They did have one.
I don't remember.
Yeah, they had one at the old pier, I guess, where we used to dock. But there was a Jolly Roger. It looked like a little pirate boat. You got on there and they just gave you unlimited rum punch. And then you go to Carlos and Charlie's. And then that's where my tequila experience happened, where I was off tequila for like 30 years.
I have a tequila story, too.
Lay it on us.
I still haven't. It's been 30 years, over 30 years and counting. My first trip to Cozumel when I first started. I got so hammered that I haven't touched tequila since then. And that was August 19th, 1991. And I haven't been able, I can't smell it. I just never again. Done.
Yeah, tequila's pretty dangerous. Pretty dangerous.
What about that?
You said you had a tequila story.
Well, the tequila story is pretty short. So I wasn't a big drinker before I came to ships. I had had a bad experience.
As everybody says that. I went on as a non-drinker and I came off as an alcoholic.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, it's so funny. There's this guy named Dan. And when I first got to ships and I was like, "Yeah, I don't really drink. I don't really do this." He was like, "Girl, you're living in a fantasy. You're going to drink here." I was like, no, I'm not. Very next week, Dan was like, "What's that in your hand, Santana?" Anyways, I had a pretty wild experience on land with alcohol when I turned 21 with my friends. And we were 21 and we could do whatever we wanted. We bought a whole bunch of different alcohols. And after that, I was like, "I'm never drinking again. Never." That was 2010, early 2010. So I hadn't drank anything all the way up until I got on ships. So a friend of mine was talking about tequila. And I was like, you know, I've never had tequila. And she was like, well, we should have a tequila night. And that night, it was like a crew show, if I'm not mistaken. They were having a cruise show. And she was like, this will be the perfect night because we can just have a couple of shots of tequila and go to the cruise show. So we go to the crew bar, we get a couple of shots of tequila. I think we had like two shots of tequila and it was not good, but I was like, hey, whatever. So we go to the cruise show. The cruise show's great. And she was like, how do you feel? I'm like, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. And she's like, well, let's go have some more shots of tequila. So yeah, we go back to the bar, have more shots of tequila. And literally that's the last thing I remember. The next day when we woke up, this is when I wore, my hair was straight. My hair was all over my head. Her hair was all over her head. And we were late to work. So we threw on our uniforms. We were still U staff and we ran up to work. And as we're going, like walking down the I-95, people are laughing and pointing at us. And they're like, you remember you knocked on my door last night? And we're like, what? And they're, you know, everywhere we go. So we go to, you know, the Lido to get food. Somebody walks up to us like, you guys sure did look like you were having fun last night. And we're like, what happened last night? Well, turns out, according to sources, we were running all over the ship, knocking on doors, like telling people to dance with us. The crew bar was like things were closed, like everything was over. And we were still running around the ship. thank God there was no security or anything like that that saw us, caught us, because yeah, we probably would have been in a lot of trouble. So that's why I said that's a short story, because I don't really remember, because people had to tell us what happened.
So that tequila story I was telling you about, the only reason I know most of what or anything that happened there was because people took pictures. I've had people that told me what happened, because like, I don't remember anything. We went from a restaurant where we had three of those huge margaritas and some shots. And then we went to Carlos and Charlie's. I don't remember Carlos and Charlie's at all. And I mean, I had somebody who had to pretty much take me to the bathroom and like held me up, because I was like so out of it. I could barely even stand. It was, yeah. So I don't remember most of that. All that information was given to me by people who were there who have a better memory, but nope.
I feel like alcohol is just a big part of, I feel like every story, unless it's like one of the wholesome ones, alcohol is involved, which is kind of sad, but funny.
So you said you started in U staff. Did you stay doing U staff the whole time, or did you switch jobs, or?
No, I was a youth staff for 6 months, and then I was promoted to youth program coordinator.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I was promoted to youth program coordinator. I was a youth program coordinator for about a year. I was promoted on ships.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I was promoted to Culinary Arts Center host. So I was doing the cooking shows, game shows, mm-hmm. you know, the helping out the cruise director, trivia, bingo, karaoke. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I became a show host, which on Holland America Line was, they've switched the position since I've gone, but it was basically the assistant to the cruise director. So I was DJing in the nightclub and, you know, back up to the cruise director if he couldn't go on stage and things like that. Yeah.
Drinking twice thought, as much.
Yeah. And all the game shows, you know, everything, trivia, you know, I have a mug with wine in it. And the passengers have no. I am hosting line dancing with a wine in a cup. I mean, it's pretty bad. But I always got the best reviews. The best reviews. Santana's so much fun. Yeah, of course.
Honestly, she was smashed.
Yeah, I remember one time, and I almost never did this. I worked the front desk. I worked reception and then worked more way up in the purser's office doing different jobs. But when I first started, I was in reception. And the best time I ever had at the front desk was when I was pretty well on my way. Like I was very functional, right? I wasn't drunk or anything, but I had had a few already. And I only did that a few times. That was a little bit dangerous to do at the front desk, to be drinking while you're working the front desk, but you'd stash drinks in the, we used to have the safety deposit room. you know, I'm going back. So we used to have a safety deposit room we'd open for guests and stuff like that, because they didn't have safes in all the cabins. So we'd go back and, you know, we'd have a safety deposit box that was full of alcohol, and we'd be drinking back there while we were working.
That's so funny. Like, so many people would get in so much trouble if they did the things that we did. Like, I work backstage in the shows and stuff. And in between shows, we would run down and see how many shots we could do in between shows. And we'd come back and do the second show, three quarters in the bag. And we're like, oh my gosh, with all the electricity and the walls going in and out and the dancers coming off and, you know, back and forth. And then, you know, we'd finish the show, clean up, go down, take a shower, go to the buffet. And then we would drink until 4 a.m. Crazy. Hey, did you, when you guys were on the messing around the ports and stuff, do you guys ever almost miss a ship or anything? Or
I never almost missed a ship. I was very, very careful, because you have to understand, I loved my job. Okay. Even though sometimes it sucked, I loved like the experience of working on a cruise ship. So I was not going to ruin it doing something silly. And even so much so that when things would happen, or like when I would be off the ship with a big group and everybody's drunk, you know how everybody walks back to the ship and security can tell, like, and if big groups, they just cause, like, you know, they're causing commotion, they're rowdy, security's watching. My little trick was, I go ahead of the pack. I would leave from with the big group and go by myself. So now I look like the innocent, sober one. I'm not with the crazy people.
Sure.
I think I got like alcohol tested twice my whole time on ships. Where did those balloons come from?
Who did that?
That's what I was wondering.
Y'all didn't do that?
No.
I'm not touching anything. Why did the balloon?
I don't know. That's weird.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
But you got alcohol tested?
You guys didn't get alcohol tested? Yeah, they did random tests. Oh, back then they didn't do.
They did. We didn't get alcohol tested.
Oh,
because
yeah,
because everyone was drunk. There would be no ships.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, no, yeah, they would do random testing, which is why I would get ahead of the pack, because if security would see people who were really drunk, they would call them for an alcohol test. So that's why I just wasn't coming with them.
Smart cookie. Like when they do like drug testing, I'm assuming Holland America did random drug testing every once in a while, or I'm not sure if they did or not. But at Princess, they used to do random drug testing, and they would test. If your name came up on that list, you were getting tested. I know somebody who was a very senior in the purses department, like a chief purser type. And his father worked in the office. His father was my boss, and he was a director of like an HR director. And he got tested. And of course, what happened, because he had just gotten back from vacation or something like that. And he tested positive for marijuana, which, again, who cares really? But he got taken off the ships. But again, because of his connection, he was put back. He wasn't fired. He ended up going to another ship. You know, let's people forget about it a little bit, and we'll put you back on in a month or so. So he did get to come back.
That's something. Yeah, the test that they would do was drug and alcohol together.
Okay.
So if you got called in, so, and they also did like on the list, like they would pick random off the list. Yeah. But if they saw you like belligerent, stumbling drunk. Yeah. Generally, those people, unless you're friends with security, they're going to get called in for a test.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I even went to get a job on the cruise ship, like when it came down to when I got the job, like one of the guys that worked at the dance studio that I was working at, he had worked for the same company, Royal Caribbean. And I was like, so what am I going to do? Like, you know, you have any advice? And his only advice, make friends with the security before you make friends with anybody. I was like, okay. And that's exactly what we did. Like, I think it was like, you know, literally like the first night we were like, hey, what's going on? Hey, you want some prizes? You know, we had, you know, the keys to the prize locker, and we filled all the security guards up full of stuff. And nearly every case, like, you know, if we were walking down the hall to a girl's room or something, you know, we would make sure he was secure in that aisle, and, you know, he'd look out for the hall for us. Don't come this way, my friend. Don't come this way. Hey, so how long were you, how many ships did you work on? And how long did you stay on ships?
Too many to remember. I was only on ships for 4 years. I worked on several ships. Veendam, Noordam, Westerdam, Rotterdam.
Whole time with Holland America.
Just Holland
America? Whole time with Holland America. I never switched companies. I was pretty comfortable. I liked Holland. I really thought I would be on ships for a long, long time. But yeah, things just changed. But I enjoyed my time for sure.
What made you decide? What made you decide to leave ships?
Was it Cozumel?
No, Cozumel was early. No. Long story short, so when I first joined ships and I was a youth staff, I remember the very first day going to the opening show. I remember watching the cruise director come out on stage and introduce the show and make everybody laugh. And I was just thinking to myself, man, I would never be able to do that. Because before ships, I've never been shy, but I've never been one to want to speak in front of people or anything like that. That's why I applied for youth staff, right? Because that's kind of behind the scenes. But as time went on, I was like, man, you know, I think maybe I could talk on a stage in front of people. So, like, as I started climbing, like, after I became youth program coordinator and I saw the Culinary Arts Center host, I was like, man, I think I want to do that. So I just, you know, did a little fake cooking show. Well, it was a real cooking show, but, you know, I recorded myself and they promoted me. So as I start climbing slowly, I was like, I might be able to do cruise director. However, Holland America is predominantly, like you said, Eric, older people. Okay. I think the average age is like 65 plus. It's mostly Caucasians,
yeah,
sailing. Okay.
Yeah.
On that line, you know?
Yeah.
And so as I climbed and I got to show host, because I had talked to one of the head people at the thing or in head office or whatever, he was over like promoting and helping develop cruise directors. And so I was talking back and forth with him because I was like, I really think I want to be a cruise director. And he was like, well, let's just see, go into show host. Let's see how you do. And so I did. I was a show host, but I hated show host. I mean, the job itself was fun, but when you have to DJ in a nightclub all night, mind you, it's Holland America Line, so they're not staying up that late. You know, but when you have to DJ to like
three midnight, people in there,
crew can come. Cause you know, I don't know how it was when you guys were sailing, but the crew members, like the dancers and officers, they can also come to the club. So a lot of times it would be crew in the club. So now I have to stay up late because crew want to hang out in the club, which to me is ridiculous because as a show host, you also have to wake up early in the morning, put out the basketball. Cause I think because Holland, because I'm learning now as I'm learning about different cruise lines, because Holland is not smaller, just because I think it's because of their demographic. The show host, assistant cruise director, does everything, sports, game shows, nightclub. Whereas on a bigger ship, they would have a DJ for the nightclub and then they'd have cruise staff for the sports, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
if you stay up to midnight, you think about if you stay up to midnight or even 11 o'clock and you go to the crew bar or you don't after you get off. And then you have to wake up at 6, 7 a.m. to be up. I mean, it was just rough. So I was like, okay, I really want to transition out of this position, but I don't want to go back to Culinary Arts Center host because I don't want to go backwards. Can I go forward? At this time, there was only about 3 Black cruise directors and they were all male. And there was only like 2 female cruise directors in the whole fleet. And I think back then Holland America had like 15 ships. Please don't quote me on that. I may be wrong. It's been many years, but there was a lot of ships and there's only 2 female cruise directors and 2 female cruise directors. So anyway, I would be the first Black female cruise director on Holland America Line, period. And so, what happened was they sent a lady to the ship to train for cruise director. And she was an older lady and she was really sweet. But this lady did not know how to, she couldn't host the line dance class. She could not, she was very nervous on stage. And this is not to down her because, you know, it takes practice, right? You have to practice to get better and better. Anyway, they made me train that lady. Wow, I just got really, really upset about it.
Yeah,
they made me train her in conjunction with other people. After that, I was just kind of like, eh, because I didn't want to keep doing show hosts and I didn't want to go backwards. And I was like, you know, maybe my season is up, but I've had a good time.
Yeah. That transition back is tough for everybody. It's just such a different world.
It's tough 30 years later.
It's still hard.
I was about to say that. Because like, how do you go from waking up in a different place? And I've been to 5 continents. I never got to Antarctica or Asia. But how do you go from waking up to a different place and seeing the world and being around people? You have to think about the social aspect too, because you know, you can always just open your cabin door and go to your neighbor's house. You know what I mean? So going from that to being on land and then having a regular job, I tried to get a job in a bank. I was doing banking before shifts. And when I tell you, sitting at that desk and them telling me what time to go to lunch, I was like, this is a scam. It was straight up. I lasted for 2 months, guys, 2 months at the bank, and I quit. And then I just start hustling. I was doing random stuff. I was like someone's personal assistant. I was selling things for people on Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. Like, people would pay me to sell their cars or their boats. And then I started my own business, which I still own now. It's a virtual call center, IMEX Communications. And basically, I hire people all over the country that work from home and they answer inbound customer service calls. But yeah,
sounds like somebody needs to start drinking again.
But have you thought about working for a cruise line shoreside? Because a lot of them are allowing people to work from home. Mm-hmm. So you can work from home and still work for a cruise line. Now, I work shoreside for a cruise line, and it's not the same as working on board. It just isn't. It depends on your job, of course. But
my friend that I spent, my roommate, Mike, actually worked for Royal for a while. And now it's either MSC or Holland America, but he's like the, account manager or whatever. He's like the cruise line cheerleader, and he sells the cruises to the travel agents. And he still goes on 12, 15, 25 cruises a year and, you know, tours all the cruise lines and goes back home and sets up the, you know, the stuff for the, travel agents to come look at. And he's like the cruise line cheerleader.
Oh, wow.
Account manager, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, I think you'd probably be wonderful at sales. So if you were like the sales manager for an area for a cruise line, sounds like that might be something you would like. Now, obviously, flexibility is always an issue for.
And he works out of Chicago. So, you know, Tennessee shouldn't be a problem.
Well, I was going to throw out, and I don't know anything about what's going on in the cruise line industry now about what they're doing, but they're getting really into social media, and people like we mentioned Erica from America. I mean, I don't think this is for you because she's just constantly going from ship to ship, but all she does is social media for Royal Caribbean.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job.
She has her account that they let her have, her account, her Erica from America. Look her up, follow her. And then she does the TikTok for Royal Caribbean, and she does the TikTok for the CEO for Royal Caribbean. So she's got 3 TikToks. And like Brad said, that's all she does is social media. That's all she does is TikTok and social media and Instagram.
She goes on a lot because you see her. She videos a lot. Like, well, not with the eye. Now, she wasn't all the time, but like the Icon just came out, and you know, Royal just has a new ship that just launched.
I would never want to work on that ship, but it looks nice to sail on.
Yeah. And so she, you know, she was there during the inauguration stuff and was videoing and filming and doing TikToks and all sorts of stuff like that for them. But I don't know what Holland does for it's like PR. I don't remember who oversees that now.
Maybe they don't have anybody's.
Yeah, they probably don't I don't know. I'm sure they're trying.
My point is maybe they need someone.
They need somebody. Maybe there's a position that they have not even thought about.
Okay.
Because, I mean, in my time while I was there, I think that Holland has gone through like 3 presidents since.
Yeah.
So they've had a lot of change over there. The same thing with Princess has had a lot of change recently, too. So I just don't know what the setup is anymore.
So real quick, before we go, Santana, what was your favorite and least favorite port?
Favorite port would have to be so many, but I'm going to say I really enjoyed Bora Bora.
Oh, well, look at me.
And and it's did you not like Bora Bora?
No, I was into. I did French Polynesia for two contracts.
Brad gets sunburned walking in the shit.
He'll lay down on the beach and you'll forget where he's at.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Brad. Well, that was my favorite.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And I really love the Med Run. I love, you know, Santorini and Corfu. Like, I met a lot of the locals, and I would always go to like the local places, and they were just so nice, man. So nice. I just love the culture over there. Worst port?
I mean, other than Freeport.
Some of the Jamaican ports. The food was good, but you know, there was just not much.
Ocho Rios?
Oh, yeah. I didn't enjoy
Ocho Rios. You didn't like Ocho Rios? Oh, I loved Ocho Rios because I had my secret little hideout that I would go down. It was just a few blocks from the port, and it was this little shack, and you'd go down there and you'd order ackee and fish and a joint and just lay in a hammock and smoke weed and eat fish and ackee. It was great.
They didn't have drug tests back then, huh, Brad?
No, thank God.
Now, Santana, so I got to ask, dating on your cruise ship, did you date any passengers? And whether you did or not, where was, do you say this, the wildest place that you did it on a cruise ship?
I did not date any passengers. And I'm not answering that other question.
No, don't answer that.
You don't have to answer that. No.
We get some pretty good
answers off of that sometimes.
We've had like we did it on a balcony, we did it at the casino pit boss on the cruise director's desk.
Ironically,
Eric hates this question, but he's probably number one on weirdest places you've ever done it on a cruise ship.
Oh, why was that a weird place?
That's a weird place. A secret balcony that nobody knows about. That is the weirdest place, other than maybe the Chinese laundry. Other than that, I think you're number one, number two, maybe.
I mean, that balcony was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was like this hidden, he needed a door to go out to this balcony that was in passenger area, but it was just in the oddest place that nobody knew that there was a balcony there. So nobody ever went there.
It was just a dead space. You couldn't put a room there. You couldn't even put a bed there or anything. It was literally just to keep the aesthetics of the ship straight and pretty and everything. They just put a door, and you had to have a key to open the door. And you literally went out there, and it was like, what do you say, like 12 square feet of a balcony.
Yeah,
and that was it.
Well, is there anything else that you want to lay on us, Santana, before we wrap it up?
I've already told two. And Brad, if you're watching my TikTok page, you probably already heard the story because I told it the other day on my TikTok.
Go ahead, tell us.
About the girl stealing the Istanbul stamp.
Yes. Yes.
That was pretty wild.
Well, we'll cut some of the chitter chatter before out. So go ahead and tell that.
We're in an overnight, it's a late night. Sorry. It's a late night port, Turkey, Istanbul. Y'all already know. When it's a late night port, you're going to get off the ship and go party, have a good time. And we go to, you know, they have the little tea places and they have the hookah lounges and they have the clubs. So we go to all those places. We go to the clubs. We dance the night away. We drink. We have a good time. And then we start heading back. So we head back. Of course, I did the thing that I always do. I go ahead of the pack because everybody's drunk. They're acting crazy. And me and like one or two other people, we go ahead. And, you know, you have to go through the port and then you have to go through, you know, the ship security. So I get back to my cabin and I'm just getting ready for the night, probably about to go to the crew bar. It's the only thing I can think that I'd be doing. About 30 minutes after all aboard time, the captain comes over the PA system and he says, "Something has been taken from the Port Authority. If you know who has it or if you have it, you need to return it now." Now, I'm assuming he's only doing this in the crew area because his voice was very stern. And you know how the captains are. They never want to talk too harshly to passengers. So I'm like, what the heck is going on? So I go out and I'm thinking, like, I bet it was that group I was with. So I'm going out my cabin and I'm looking, I'm like asking people, what happened? Do you know what happened? No one knows what happened. We find out later that a girl, we'll just call her Lydia, she had decided to steal the passport stamp from the port authorities when she went through port security. She was super drunk and she thought that it would be a great souvenir. So her story was, I really just wanted a souvenir. Well, turns out that's like a government item. I don't know how you say that, but it's a government item. So they detained her. And after they detained her, so now the ship's held up. Y'all know that's a big deal. I'm thinking we're about to leave her in Turkey because, you know, usually the captains don't like to wait because they don't want to, you know, cause more money. But anyway, she gets detained. They eventually, hours later, they get her out. I don't know if she went to jail for sure. I just know she was detained. They get her back on the ship. She's like restricted to her cabin until we get to the next port or the port after. I know they made sure that she got to a safe port, and she was fired. She was fired for stealing a passport stamp. Like, of all the things.
That's heavy because you could stamp anybody's passport.
Yeah. Right, right. And I've seen too many episodes before ships. I always have wanted to travel. So I've watched so many episodes of Locked Up Abroad. So I would never try that kind of stuff in another country. Like, I'm on my best behavior when I go out because I'm not trying to go to jail in these foreign countries.
No. And especially Turkey. I mean, if you've seen Midnight Run.
I've seen them. Yes. Yeah. I've seen them.
You'll have to you'll have to listen to who's the podcast that the FBI got involved with the guy? Was it the
Gary Mulcahy? Sharky.
Yeah.
Well, go FBI?
Oh yeah. It was pretty
heavy. Escaped from the FBI. We have some wild stories on our podcast.
Yeah. He got deported or something to somewhere, and then that country kicked him out of the country, and then he ended
Jamaica.
Out of Jamaica, and then you know, he was in some other country, something I can't remember. But
was this his story?
Yeah. It's all on there.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's some crazy shit stories. There was the one, and I'm not sure if you've heard this case, if you were into, but my favorite one, which is a crazy story, but it's somebody who was on a ship that sank, a cruise ship that sank.
Moss Hill. Go and search for that and listen to that. It is the most, you know, and we were saying, like, you know, when we're like, you know, Brad's like, Scott, cut it down to like 30 minutes. I'm like, I can't. I've cut this down to an hour and a half, and you tell me where to cut it, because this is so, it is the wildest, and not that it's crazy, from hearing about a guy that was on a ship that sank. He videoed it all, and he saved, you know, him and three musicians saved everyone. Nobody died. I mean, Don't spoil it. Yeah.
Go, I wrote it down.
Yeah.
Well, spoiler alert, he survives.
Well, speaking of great ship stories, I think we've had one here tonight. Thank you so much, Santana, for coming on. We're going to have to wrap it up here. We really, really appreciate it. Why don't you tell people again your company and your TikTok?
Okay, so my company, if anyone's looking for work from home, is IMEX Communications. You can find us at imexcommunications.com. And also my TikTok is at His Wife My Life. And thank you guys so much for having me. I really have enjoyed just talking about this stuff. I love talking cruise ship, anything. So it's been an absolute pleasure. You guys have a great, great evening.
Well, hey, thanks for coming on, Santana. It was great to meet you.
Thanks, Santana. Ciao, ciao.
Oh, man, that was fun.
Oh, yeah. I told you guys she was going to be great.
Hey everyone, the ship is about to set sail, which brings us to an end for today. We hope that you enjoy the podcast. For bonus audio, and if you would like to see this podcast in video, please visit our YouTube channel, My Ship Story. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram as My Ship Story. Don't forget to let us know if you're a past or present crew member, and if you have a story that you would like to tell, or if you like, you can email us your story for us to read on the air. Email us at myshipstorypodcast@yahoo.com. That's myshipstorypodcast@yahoo.com. Goodbye for now, and be sure to tune in next week, same time, as we'll have a new podcast every Monday. Bon voyage!